What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Travis Thayer, double T. I go by here on the radio waves. And plenty to get to on the show, as always, running down all the latest in hometown sports in a 30-minute time span. And we've talked a lot about high school basketball in recent weeks. That conversation is going to continue this week as there's been some changes made to the boys and girls basketball state tournament format regarding the regional and semi-state. We're going to get into that topic. I got some reaction to it, and obviously we want to let you know what exactly is happening as well. South Dearborn High School, they have a new boys varsity basketball head coach. We're going to talk a little bit about the new coach and hear some words from him as well. Stepping away from basketball, we're going to talk about the Southeastern Indiana Racing Circuit, which is going to benefit some cross-country programs in the area, and a South Dearborn student athlete, a three-sport star, choosing one sport to continue at the collegiate level. We're going to talk about that, among other things, here on this Monday, June 27th edition of Crunch Time. All right, let's start with the big news from the IHSAA that dropped on Friday regarding the basketball state tournament format. The executive committee voted 15-2 on Thursday to make the regional round a single game and the semi-state round a two-game format beginning with the 2022-23 season. Now, the previous format of a two-round regional and a single semi-state game had been in place since 2002, but obviously a change in the air with the IHSAA and a fairly new commissioner as well that put out a survey this past spring and polled a lot of principals, ADs, coaches throughout the state, and almost 74% of the 781 respondents voted in favor of the change. So this change is in part to having great support throughout the state of Indiana, according to at least the people that are closest to the game, that being administrators and coaches, of course. But, I've seen in the past that two-game regional. We just got to experience that a little bit this past year with Lawrenceburg making the regional and boys basketball, East Central making it on the girls' side of things. And it's one of those situations where you got to go down and play a 10 o'clock game or a noon game or up. I guess you could travel as well across. Forget about the directions. But anyways, play a 10 o'clock game, a noon game, and then come back for the regional championship that same night. And it's basically just going to be flip-flop with the semi-state. So now the regional would more than likely be an evening time game on a Friday or Saturday, I guess. And then the semi-state would likely be played on a Saturday morning and afternoon with multiple games going on that day. So it really doesn't change the tournament that much. You still have to win the same amount of games to get to the state championship and win the state championship. So I'm not overlooking that. I've seen some positive and negative reaction to this change. Some people are saying, hey, this is the way it used to be before they classed basketball. So we like the change. Others maybe kind of set in their ways over the past 20 years, like it the way it is right now. And I think for some folks, they might like the fact that the semi-state is a legit four teams, so it's more like a Final Four instead of it's going to be a Final Eight for all the different classes throughout the state of Indiana once we get to that level this year. But as the commissioner of the IHSAA says, this is going to double the number of teams that are going to get to play a week longer into the tournament, and he is also very excited about the excitement it's going to create in those communities and going to be financially beneficial for the communities that are going to be host sites for the semi-state. I guess the same could be true for a host community for a regional round as well, as you're still getting multiple games one way or another. By the way, those tournament sites going to be announced a little bit later on this year. Outside of the format change with the flipping of the regional and the semi-state, what I hope to see happen is having those regional games played a little bit closer to home. I don't think any team should be forced to drive three and a half hours to go play a regional game. That doesn't scream regional to me. Regional should be a respectable distance away. And one thing that I do like that they are proposing to do with this format change is play multiple games at one site in the regional that might feature teams from different classes. So you might be able to go out to a regional at a said school, whatever it's going to be, and see a regional championship game in 2A and in 3A. I think that would be absolutely awesome. And quite selfishly, from a broadcasting standpoint, if we have a couple of area teams that make it to a regional championship, I know that doesn't always happen. The odds of that happening aren't super. There's a team in 3A playing in a regional championship, and there's a team in 2A playing in a regional championship that we follow, that would be really cool to call back-to-back regional championship games at the same site regarding a couple of our area teams. So we'll see if that comes to fruition sometime later on in the future. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I think it'd be pretty cool, but I do want to see less travel in those regional round games. It just seems to me that our teams here in southeastern Indiana seem to always get the raw end of the deal in terms of the travel, and I particularly do think that it has a little bit of an impact on how the game plays out. It's not the end-all, be-all, but to say that it doesn't have any impact at all, I don't buy that. That's just my personal opinion. So, like I said, I want to see less travel for our area teams in the regional round. I don't know if you can get away with that at the semi-state level, but again, it all just kind of depends who's winning the games and where they're coming from. But you would like to see these teams kind of meet in the middle somewhere. And I think the IHSAA is trying to trend in that direction. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition with the format change coming up this year. But try to make it a little bit more fair in terms of how far teams are traveling. And one final thought on this whole format change. It is going to make it not easier, but one less game to get to the semi-state level for all teams in the state of Indiana. Typically, at the sectional, you got to win at least two or three games to move on to the regional round. And then you obviously win the regional. Now you're heading off to the semi-state and get into the final eight in your class. So I like it from that standpoint. And I'm not one of those people that likes to complain just to complain. So change isn't always a bad thing. And this one isn't really that big of a change. They're just flip-flopping the regional and the semi-state, and I'm okay with that. So I think this is going to be fine, and once we get a year or two into this thing, I don't think anybody's even going to sniff at it. They're going to maybe even forget that it used to be the other way around. Let's stick with the high school hoops topics here as big news out of Aurora. South Dearborn High School has a new boys varsity basketball head coach. And I had heard through the grapevine a couple of weeks ago that Matthew Colston was not going to be returning to the bench at South Dearborn. And finally got the lowdown on the whole situation there at South Dearborn. And according to athletic director Ryan Walston, he tells us that Coach Colston walked into his office the final day of school, said he did not want to coach the team anymore, and that he was going to be pursuing a job at the collegiate level. So Colston is out after 2 years, and Ryan Walston postponed his summer vacation a little bit to go find a new basketball coach, and they did just that. Patrick Cosgrove has accepted the position pending school board approval, and he's obviously replacing Coach Colston after 2 years. Colston did lead the Knights to a 27-20 record over his 2 years, both winning seasons, included two Rivertown Classic Championships, Rivertown Classic Championships that had eluded South Dearborn for many of years. But Coach Cosgrove coming to South Dearborn, plenty of coaching experience. He actually started his coaching career at the age of 20 as he was, I believe, a sophomore in college. Working as an assistant coach and then transitioned into the head coaching role several years later. But he is going to be entering his ninth season as a head coach once he takes the sideline and the bench at South Dearborn High School. But he's had some great success at Summit Country Day, led the Silver Knights to 94 wins in five seasons. They won three conference championships, two district titles, and made two regional final appearances. He was actually the Division III Southwest Ohio Coach of the Year in 2017. Moved to Coleraine between 2019 and 2021 and spent last year at Spencer Central High School helping them during their first year as an OHSAA team. So plenty of coaching experience for Cosgrove, and he hopes to bring some stability to the South Dearborn sideline. Pretty crazy stat here. Seven different head coaches at South Dearborn over the last 18. The longest tenured coach in that stretch was Rick Shoemate, who stuck around for four seasons between 2011 and 2015. So it has been a little bit of a revolving door with this South Dearborn boys basketball program, and Coach Cosgrove hopes that he's going to be the one to kind of stop that transition and make this a destination job. He told me specifically this is no stepping stone for him.
This is not a stepping stone for me. This is not a, you know, a rung on a ladder. You know, I don't think anyone can promise they're going to be anywhere for 20 to 25 years. Mm. But, you know, it's something where, in my mind, this is a destination job for me. I think it's the only way. I think it has every opportunity to be a very successful basketball program, but it is not microwavable, right? So it is not something where you swoop in and can have a good year or two. It takes to have a sustainable program. You need to have sort of that steady hand. That's what I'm going to try to be for the entire program, not just the high school level. I'm talking K through 12.
Couple of key takeaways from that snippet from Coach Cosgrove is a steady hand and building the program, not just at the high school level, but K through 12. I think that's going to be very beneficial for any coach at the high school level. You certainly have to start from the ground up. And I always think to the youth level, or building the fundamentals and getting these kids to fall in love with the game of basketball so they'll continue to play throughout their middle school years and into high school and maybe even beyond. And that is kind of can be the basis of a strong program is, you know, making sure you're doing the right things with the kids that are a little younger, getting them to continue to get better through those primitive years. And then when they get to high school, they're ready to transition into varsity basketball players. And I think for South Dearborn, with having so many different coaches over the past 18 years, they've maybe not been able to lay such a great foundation because the voice has changed so many times. You know, every 2 years it seems that somebody else is ahead of the program and kind of coaching up these kids how they want them to play, and then all of a sudden in the blink of an eye they're gone. So I think for Coach Cosgrove, he wants to be here for quite some time and build this program up, and I think that is going to be a good thing. Hopefully that can come to fruition and they can get that stability out at South Dearborn. But I tell you what, for Coach Cosgrove, he certainly comes from a basketball family, at least in part, because his uncle, Cliff Hawkins, is the eighth winningest coach in the state of Indiana. He's racked up 543 wins over 41 years and is currently in his fourth year at Tipton. But for Cliff Hawkins, looking up at Jerry Baumholt on the all-time win list, he's currently at Jay County and was longtime Southwestern Hanover coach. But Coach Cosgrove certainly has a mentor to look up to in his uncle, who has been one of the best coaches in the state of Indiana all time. And when I got a chance to talk to Coach Cosgrove about coming from Ohio to Indiana, because he is a Cincinnati native, he kind of broke down what it meant to now be a head coach in the Hoosier State.
I mean, it's Indiana basketball. That's to me, you know, and as a Ohio and a Buckeye, a Cincinnati native, you know, there's not many opportunities to get in to the Hoosier State. And that's just something that, you know, that's where I learned the game. I grew up, basically spent all my summers in Indiana at various points. You know, my uncle is extremely successful. I think he's in the top 10 of all-time wins in the state of Indiana history. He's close. You know, kind of that list kind of varies because a couple guys still active. So, but he's up there. He's at Tipton right now. And so that's where I learned the game. You know, all June, most of my Julys, I would just be in a gym somewhere in Indiana. And that's where I fell in love with it. I think I went to South Dearborn the last week. Or no, Monday, I guess. Yeah, Monday, went to interview. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I walked in that main entrance, you know, where the gym is, it just felt like home. You know, that's one of the things I said in my interview to the committee is, and I know it sounds kind of strange maybe, but it felt a lot more like home than some places I've lived. Yeah, it's just a great opportunity for me.
Well, I can kind of see where Coach Cosgrove's coming from when he says that the South Dearborn gym felt like home when he walked in that main entrance there. I did not go to South Dearborn, did not play at South Dearborn, but I did play at South Dearborn many a times, being a Lawrenceburg Tiger, and I absolutely loved playing in that gym. It felt like a home away from home, so I can kind of understand what he was feeling there. Now, I did get to talk to Coach Cosgrove a little bit about how he would ideally like to play system-wise, and certainly that's going to be dictated by personnel, which I totally agree with, because I think from a year-to-year basis, your teams are very, very different. Sometimes you have an exceptional offensive skilled team. Sometimes you lean more towards the defensive end and have to kind of slow things down offensively. So Coach Cosgrove recognizes that and will be able to be flexible and adapt to the team and the talent that he has on a year-to-year basis. But ideally, he said everything's going to start on the defensive end. I think if you ask any basketball coach where they're going to hang their hat, everyone's going to say defense, because defense wins championships, defense travel, all those cliches that you hear surrounded by the game of basketball. And we've seen South Dearborn have some hard-nosed, really good defensive teams over the past couple years, so I would expect that to continue, especially with Ryan Willoughby coming back. That's one of the best on-ball defenders you're going to find in this area. We're going to talk a little bit more about the returning players here in just a moment. But on the offensive side of the ball, Coach Cosgrove would like to see the team play at a quicker pace, looking for shots and getting shots earlier in the offense. Now, that was not the case under Coach Colston over the last couple of years. It was a more methodical offense for South Dearborn. A lot of passes before they even tried to get anything at the rim, whether that's attacking the rim or getting an outside jump shot. And really, they didn't shoot a whole lot of threes over the past couple of years. There was only a couple certain individuals that were really allowed to let it fly. So I think you will see a different style South Dearborn team. Maybe not this season, I don't know. Again, it's going to be dictated on personnel and what Coach Cosgrove thinks that they can do and do well on the floor. But ideally, would like to play a little bit faster on offense, get more shots up. And I know when people hear, we're going to play fast, we're going to get shots up, we're going to get shots up early in our offense, you start to think about rush shots and contested shots. That's not the idea in this offense. It's just that they're playing with a purpose and putting pressure on the defense. Couple other key takeaways from my conversation with Coach Cosgrove is he said, South Dearborn, well, we don't have a bunch of size coming back this year, but we'll own the backboard, so emphasis on rebounding and communication is going to be key as well. Coach Cosgrove says he and his staff will be constantly communicating with players throughout the game. That's obviously going to translate into practice and things of that nature. But communication, very, very key, of course, in any sport, but particularly important in basketball, specifically on the defensive end. The kids got to be talking to each other, but the coaches relaying information to the players to help them out throughout the game, that's going to be nice to see as well. So I'm sure there's some excitement going on at South Dearborn, a new voice of the program, one that intends to be here for quite some time to build something. Steady hand, remember, that's what we're talking about here at South Dearborn. And Coach Cosgrove going to inherit a team that went 14-8 last year. They had Lawrenceburg on the ropes in the sectional semifinals. Tigers came back to win that game and win the sectional, but this was a really, really fine team that they had last year. Of course, you're losing 1,000-point scorer in Eli Hoffman, the Rivertown Classic MVP Reese Willoughby. More on him coming up. Corbin McHenry played some solid minutes for the Knights, so did Drew Probst, and then you had Evan Meek as well. So coming back for the Knights, you have senior Ryan Willoughby, the top returning scorer at 10.3 points per game. Brody Tiki played a lot of varsity minutes last year at guard. Hudson Shackelford saw some time. Adam Kunkel, Reed Thornton, Adam Gaynor, Jake Doherty, and Peyton Hill, they all got some minutes at the varsity level last year. So they have plenty of guys that have been out there before. Some of these guys are going to have to take steps and get into bigger roles this year and be key contributors and starters and good role players on this team going into the 2022-23 season. So again, I'm excited to see what this team is going to do this coming season, and excited to see them playing under a new head coach. And there are a lot of times we start our broadcast season with the South Dearborn Rising Sun game on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We'll see if that lands on the schedule again this year, but that might be a good one to start out with. And Rising Sun, going to have a pretty nice team coming back this year, so that might be a heck of a first game to kick off or tip off our high school basketball coverage a little bit later on this year. So I want to say congratulations to Coach Cosgrove on getting the job at South Dearborn, and look forward to seeing he and his team in action later on this year. Now, I mentioned Reese Willoughby while talking about South Dearborn basketball, and I want to talk about him specifically right now because, well, he's a three-sport star, was a three-sport star at South Dearborn High School, basketball, baseball, and football, but it is baseball that he will play at the collegiate level as he has recently signed his letter of intent to continue on the baseball diamond at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. That's in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Just a little northeast of Columbus, and Willoughby's coming off a very strong senior season. Great pitcher, 6-1 on the mound, 0.88 ERA, 77 strikeouts, only 13 walks in 48 innings pitched, and he actually hit 365 at the plate as well. So he earned EIAC MVP honors as a senior, three-time all-conference selection, making it each of his three seasons in playing in high school because, well, he didn't get a sophomore season due to COVID-19, but all-conference player in basketball and football as well, was the Rivertown Classic MVP this last year as the Knights won that tournament for a second consecutive year and holds the single-season touchdown receptions record with 12, also set during his senior season. But Reese, not only great on the athletic surfaces, but maintained a GPA of 3.75 or higher as a member of student government, so getting it done in the classroom and some other extracurriculars as well. So I wanted to take time to mention Reese Willoughby, his commitment to Mount Vernon Nazarene University, say congratulations. What a fantastic high school career he had, both academically and athletically, and we wish him nothing but the best at the collegiate level. Speaking of baseball, young man from Lawrenceburg High School competing at the North-South All-Star Game Series over the weekend, the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association putting on that weekend series up at Indiana Wesleyan University in Marion. But Drew Lanning, pitcher from Lawrenceburg, playing for the South team, and the North won two of the three games in Indianapolis. But Drew Lanning, very, very good in his outing through three scoreless innings, allowed no hits, and had two strikeouts, and he is a strikeout artist. He was among the top strikeout pitchers in the state of Indiana this past year, and actually going back even into his junior season. But Drew Lanning going to go on and play his college ball at Hanover College, so congratulations to Drew on a nice performance at the North-South All-Star Series, and certainly going to be striking out some pitchers at the collegiate level coming very, very soon. All right, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but want to go back to some basketball talk here because the East Central Lady Trojans held a two-day shootout over the weekend, and, well, it was the Lady Trojans that took home the championship at their own tournament. I think there was 19 teams. Again, math's not my strong suit. I may have miscounted, but there were more than a dozen teams at this two-day tournament, several teams from the area, but East Central gets the win in the championship over Winchester. They also had wins over Austin and Charlestown. They actually had the double bye in this tournament, doing well in pool play the day prior to the bracket play. But East Central goes on to win the championship. Lawrenceburg performed well. They earned a double bye as well and defeated Greensburg in the quarterfinals. That's a nice win for the Lady Tigers. They did fall to Winchester in the semifinals, who went on to play against East Central in that title game. South Dearborn, Batesville, Franklin County also competing in this tournament. They all kind of navigated through the loser's bracket on Saturday, and South Dearborn did very well for themselves, got a win over Charlestown and Delphi. And wouldn't you know it, Batesville and Franklin County locked horns after Franklin County lost to Winchester. Batesville got the best of the Lady Wildcats, but if you want to find out a little bit more about the Trojan shootout, you can follow East Central Girls Basketball on Twitter. They do a great job with their social media. It's at East Central GBB. So make sure you give them a follow. And one of the things I saw on that page this morning was Coach Kevin Moore tweeting out that after playing all weekend, Josie Trable is back in the gym first thing Monday morning, and this is an off day, so it was supposed to be an off day for Josie, but her skill level and success is not by accident, says Coach Moore. Her love of the game and understanding of the process is a separator, and then he went on to say some lucky university college is going to love her as she's getting ready to begin her senior season, and the fact that she remains uncommitted, unsigned at this point is kind of crazy. Three-time All-State player. She's been a Supreme 15 player, as she was last year as a junior, Indiana Junior All-Star. The accolades are just all over the place for Josie Trable. She's got so many, the all-time leading scorer in East Central basketball history. She's going to have some more records before it's all said and done. So I agree with Coach Moore. There's going to be a very, very lucky university or college that gains her services as a basketball player. She does a great job in the classroom as well. So it's always cool to see those stories. I love seeing student athletes getting after it and trying to get better on a daily basis. And Josie Trable doing that this morning on an off day. I sometimes don't even want to work on an on day. So kudos to Josie. Sticking with the East Central theme, got a couple of bass fishers from East Central High School that competed at the National Championship in Florence, Alabama over the weekend. 3-day event held at McFarland Park. And the duo of Grayson Hilton and Isaac Smith placed 147th out of 236 teams. They caught two fish first day, weighed in at 602. On day two, they only brought in one fish at 108. Their total for the tournament was 710, and there was a three-fish limit each day. And for the entire tournament, all the teams there, 869 fish caught. Total weight was 2,445, and the winners of this tournament was a duo from Lake Creek, Montgomery, Texas, as they had an overall 9 fish weighing 3909. The top 10 teams from this event went on to the World Finals on Saturday. But congratulations to Hilton and Smith for making it to the National Championship. They were 4th in the state tournament in Indiana, so job well done there. If you want to read a little bit more about how they got to the World Championship and how they fared, we have that info for you at EagleCountryOnline.com. And finally, let's get to some road racing. The Southeastern Indiana Racing Circuit starting up over the weekend. 6 events to benefit cross-country teams in the area, and the first of those 6 races happened out in Rushville, the Lion Pride 5K on Saturday. The winner, 18-year-old Kyle Stanley out of Falmouth, Indiana. Andrew Parmalee, 38 from Carthage, was in second, and then Jake Chapman, 15 from Batesville, finishing in third place. And the next CIRC race coming up on July 9th, it is the Trojan Trot 5K. Yes, sir, we'll take a week break because of the 4th of July holiday coming up this weekend and right back at it on July 9th. But you can sign up for the Trojan Trot 5K in St. Leon at stewartroadracing.com. We also have the link for you at eaglecountryonline.com. And again, all the proceeds benefit the host school's cross-country team, so this next one will be benefiting East Central's cross-country team. So get out to St. Leon and participate in the Trojan Trot on July 9th. That's all I got for you on the show this evening. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to Crunch Time. A big thank you to our sponsor, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can learn about all of their services by going over to OrthoSensi.com. Again, that is OrthoSensi.com. Now, I mentioned 4th of July falling on a Monday, so we will not have the show for you next week. Enjoy your Independence Day, and go catch some fireworks. You don't want to hear me talk for 30 minutes. I'll get back with you the following Friday, and we'll catch you up on all the latest in hometown sports, as we always do right here on Crunch Time, heard on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com.